I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to be looking tonight at verses 41 through 48. And this psalm is a very difficult one to kind of organize and preach. But yet, God's been very gracious unto us, and He's really helped us by giving us some very key things to understand about the Word of God. Let's remember Psalm 119 is 176 verses, and the vast majority of them, all but four that I've found, mention God's Word. And it is a tremendous passage, almost like a love song. I read in one commentator, he put it, it's like a love ballad about the Word of God. I love the Word of God, and the psalmist writes it over and over and over again. Tonight, as we jump into our passage tonight, we're going to be confronted with the importance of the Word of God in our lives and how it is to be our standard for our petitions, how it is to be our source of our confidence, and how it is to be our strength for our hope. And we're going to look at that tonight, and along with a few other points. But let's begin reading in verse 41 down through 48. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Mercy of God. And this was a fascinating study as I spent some time looking at this term mercy. You see there, the psalmist begins this section, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord. This mercy could also be translated as steadfast love or loving kindness. And this steadfast love and loving kindness, it's the Hebrew word chesed. And that word is used throughout this psalm to express God and His presence. I want to just march through the psalm, just Psalm 119, and I want to show you how this word is used. Okay, so here we see in this passage that the psalmist is crying out, "O God, may Your mercies come unto me." So there's a supplication here. He's making a request of God. God, I desire Your mercies to come unto me. Now, you look in Psalm 119 and verse 64. You read this, "The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes." And so here we're looking at the steadfast love of God as the expression of the presence of God. In other words, when we see this loving kindness and the steadfast love, it is the expression of God Himself. It is one of the ways that we can understand God and His presence in our lives, is that when we see the loving kindness and the steadfast love expressed here in this earth. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. We could pray and ask God, "O God, give us eyes to see Your loving kindness all around us." We received in the mail, I guess about a week ago now, a very fancy envelope. And you know, when you get the envelopes that are pretty fancy, and they usually are maybe pink or blue or fancy ribbons on them, you wonder, it's some sort of invitation, right? An invitation to either a wedding or a baby shower or something or other. And so we got this very fancy invitation, beautifully bound with a bright pink ribbon. And we opened this up, and there was a picture of a little girl in there. A little girl, I think she's about 1 year old now. Her name is Gabriella, and she's in a beautiful pink dress, and she's got a huge smile, and it's almost like the model picture you see in Sears when you go there to get your picture taken. And this little girl, her name is Gabriella, this little girl is being adopted by some friends of ours. And I almost cried as I read this, because this has been in about a year in the making. As our dear friends have not had children of their own, and so they have begun to be foster parents, and this little girl was their first little one, and they have sought to adopt her, and it has been quite a process for them. And then we receive an invitation that the adoption will be official on October 6th, and Gabriella will receive their name. The mercy and loving kindness of God. You see it, and you can recognize it, and you see it because you know God, and you know His Word, and you know how He works. People who do not know God and do not know His Word, they will see an adoption of a little girl, and they will see it as something wonderful, but they will not see it as the loving kindness and steadfast love of God. And so, church, may we have eyes to see the loving kindness of God. It is an expression of His presence among us. If you look down at verse 76 in the same chapter, we see comfort in the presence of God. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. And we see that mercy is a comfort in the presence of God. You go down to verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And you see that mercy is the life that's found in the presence of God. You go down to verse 124. You see, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And we see that mercy is the standard of God's dealings with people. God is a steadfast, loving God. Let thy mercies, back to verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Here in verse 41, we see the standard of the psalmist's petition is God's word. So in other words, the psalmist is expressing a petition before God. And he's saying, God, I desire this from you. But I want you to notice that the standard of this petition is God's word. And we are told throughout the scriptures to pray in such a way that is according to God's will. How do you know that? You know God's will because when you know the word of God. And you are able to pray in agreement with the Word of God. I encourage folks that maybe are new to praying or learning how to pray, I encourage them to find scriptures that they can pray. Because when you pray the scriptures, you are praying the will of God. And it is a beautiful way to express what you know God desires. And so what we're seeing here, as the psalmist writes, according to thy word, we see the standard of the psalmist's petition is God's word. As we look at that, may we not forget His incredible mercy that He shows to His people. You know, the psalmist, as he's writing this, you often wonder what's going through his mind. You know, how does he know God's a loving, kind God? How does he know that God is a merciful God? Why is it that he asks here, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation"? How does he know God is a saving God? How does he know that? He gives us the answer because he says it's according to thy word. You know, the psalmist might have been thinking of God's mercy towards the Israelites when he delivered them from Egypt. Back in Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the people of Israel, they're singing a song. And in this song, they speak of the mercy of God. Exodus 15 and verse 13, it says, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." And this being a song of celebration, as they are celebrating the Passover and how God has brought them safely out of Egypt. And they're singing God's praises. And they're one of the things they're praising God for is his steadfast love and his mercy for them. So how does the psalmist know mercy, God's mercy, is something he wants in his life? It's because he knows God and how God works, because he knows the Word. He knows God's Word. And dear ones, you will find as you immerse yourself in the Word of God, you begin to have an understanding, and you probably have experienced this as you grow in understanding of God, you have a greater appetite for Him and for His truth and to know Him. The psalmist might have also been thinking of Joseph, where in Genesis 39, Joseph became a part of Potiphar's household. And it says this in Genesis 39:21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. How does the psalmist know that mercy is something he desires? Well, if he's familiar with the story of Joseph, he knows how God took a man who was a slave, a stranger in the country, and not deserving of anything, bought off the slave market, and how God took him and brought him to be the head of the household only under Potiphar himself. The mercy of God. May we have eyes to see God's mercy, and may we understand that God's word must be the standard for our petitions. You know, the psalmist here is focusing in on the mercy of God, but there are so many other things about God that we need. We need His grace. We need His strength. We need His comfort. We need His love. And all of these things we learn about from God's Word. And so as you kneel to pray, as you teach your children to pray, realize that God's Word must be your standard for these petitions before God. Moving on to verse 42, not only is God's Word the standard of the psalmist's petition, but God's Word is the source of the psalmist's confidence. The source of the psalmist's confidence. Verse 42, it says this, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." The psalmist has a confidence. Such a confidence that he is able to answer those that are taunting him. And he has a confidence because of the Word of God. The Word of God, dear ones, can be the source of our confidence as we are faced with people that taunt us, scorn us, bring a reproach upon us. We will have at times people that will falsely accuse us. We will have people that will speak about us behind our backs. All of these different things that happen, and we know that these happen, and probably they've happened to us. But that doesn't change the fact that God is right there, and His Word doesn't change. And as the psalmist found confidence in the Word of God, so must we. And may it be our source that we can stand up confidently and we can give answers because we know God and we know Him through His Word. And I really think that's the heart of the psalmist throughout this chapter. This song of just great love for the Word is that he desires the readers of this psalm to have that intense desire to know it, because it is such an important part of a believer's life. It will be the source of our strength and confidence, because you know God and you know Him through His Word. Moving on to verse 43, the Word of God is the standard of the psalmist's petition, the source of the psalmist's confidence. And thirdly, God's Word is the strength of the psalmist's hope. Strength of the psalmist's hope. Verse 43, it says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments." We see here that the psalmist is writing and he's asking another request. He's asking God again for something. Just like in verse 41, his petition is, "Let your mercies come upon me." And now in verse 43, he's saying, "Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth." Why is that? Because I have hoped in thy judgments. And we see that the judgments of God, or the Word of God, is the strength of his hope. In other words, it is the walls that hold up the roof, which is hope. It is that foundation that gives us the ability to have a confident expectation. Because it is the Word of God that expresses who God is, and it tells us how God operates with people. And therefore, we can form or have a confident expectation in the work and might of God, because we know Him through His Word. You see here, it says, "Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth." This is one commentator wrote it this way: "Do not take it entirely or altogether from me. Let me not be utterly hopeless. Let me be at no time without some evidence that thy word dwells in me with sustaining and sanctifying power." The prayer seems to have been offered when the mind was troubled and in doubt, and when it seemed as if all hope and all trust in the truth of God would vanish. The words rendered utterly mean too very much. That is, altogether or entirely. The psalmist is finding great hope in God's Word. Hope is also seen throughout Psalm 119. Look at verse 49. "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." The Word of God is the strength of our hope. Look at verse 81. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Verse 114. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Isn't it such a wonderful blessing that we've got the Word of God? I mean, the psalmist here, there in 114, he knows God to be his hiding place and his shield, and he can say that because he knows it to be true according to the Word of God. And God's Word has expressed it so. And you can think about David in his life, and we don't know if David was the author of this psalm or not. But certainly in David's life, think about the times when he was running away from Saul and in the mountains and the caves. And it looked like things were bleak and his future was unknown. But yet God gave him great hope and confidence. And he found that confidence because he knew God. And God revealing himself through his faithful word. So now, church, we need to take the Word of God and value it as our standard, as our source, and as our strength. And this is what we see the psalmist doing. And now what we're going to see in the remaining portion of this stanza is the psalmist's plan of action. So in other words, God's Word is my standard. I know how to pray because of God's Word. God's Word is my source. I know I can trust in God because God's Word tells me who He is and how He operates. And I know I can be confident and I can hope because that is strengthened by God's Word. So therefore, here is my plan of action. And look at this. Notice that the remaining portion of this stanza is a series of, and I believe I found about 6 different I will or I shall statements. In other words, the psalmist, based upon his love for God and his understanding of God's word, boldly proclaims that I will, verse 44, I will obey God's law. He says that. He says, I will obey God's law. And so therefore, he's standing up and he's saying, this is my heart's desire and my conviction. I am going to obey it. How long? Continually, forever and ever, verse 44. Continually, forever and ever. So not only is this plan of action, I will obey God's law, but secondly, in verse 45, I will walk in freedom. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. That word liberty literally speaks of a broad or wide way, a wide place. One commentator put it this way, saints find no bondage in sanctity. The spirit of holiness is a free spirit. He sets men at liberty and enables them to resist every effort to bring them under subjection. The way of holiness is not a track for slaves, but the king's highway for free men who are joyfully journeying from the Egypt of bondage to the Canaan of rest. And we see that the psalmist here is recognizing, I will walk in freedom. Why? Because I am seeking God's precepts. And so often, people look at obeying God's law as bondage, don't they? I mean, even at times we look at it, we say, oh, why do I have to live this way? Or why do I have to do this? And we have these responses. But what we're seeing and learning from the Word of God here is that obeying God's word and seeking after his precepts is truly a way of freedom. In Romans, it talks about either you're a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. There, Paul is putting in that perspective, you are a slave to something. Whether you are a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. And to be a slave of righteousness is truly to be walking in freedom. If you have the perspective and the insight that you gain from God and His Word. And so the psalmist's plan of action is, I will obey God's Word. And secondly, I will walk in freedom. I will know true freedom because I'm seeking after God's precepts. I mean, dear ones, think about this. If God is truly your God and you want to truly obey Him with your life, that means you want to obey Him and do things His way. And if you are obeying, you are going to reap the blessings of obedience. I mean, we know that to be true. You go to work, and each of your jobs has a standard of conduct, and you have certain things that you have to abide by at work. And you know that if you get outside of those boundaries, you know that you are going to get talked to or dealt with or whatever. And so therefore, you know if you walk according to those boundaries, you have nothing to be afraid of. You can walk in freedom. It's that same idea of you're driving down the highway and you pass a police officer. And I have to laugh because every time when I'm driving along, it's amazing when you start seeing brake lights coming on, you know what's coming. It's because people are living in bondage. And they are living in bondage because they are not obeying the law. And so if you are obeying the law, you are able to drive in freedom and not be afraid. So I will obey God's law. I will walk in freedom. Verse 46, I will testify of God's testimonies. I will speak of God and His word. I'll talk about it. And notice when? Before kings. We don't know who this psalmist is, but he must have had some access to royal palaces. And he's not afraid to speak of God and His word before kings. And how can he speak? He can speak with incredible confidence and with no shame. He has no shame. He can walk in before the king and speak of God and His word with no shame. You know, I'm reminded of Nathan. Remember the prophet Nathan? And God asked him to do a difficult thing, didn't he? Remember? Nathan, you are to go in to the king's palace and you are to speak before him and confront him of his sin. So, but Nathan could walk in with confidence before the king and not be ashamed because he was doing it according to God's word. I will obey God's law. I will walk in freedom. I will testify of God's testimonies. In verse 47, I will delight in God's commandments. I will find great joy in them. Why? Because I love them. Now it's getting a little personal. Do you love God's word? Do you truly love it? One of the measurements of that love would be, do you find joy in it? Do you delight in it? Is it something that as you read it, it puts great joy in your heart, a smile on your face? Maybe not always a smile, but at least the great blessing of knowing God's truth. Because sometimes God's truth requires us to do some difficult things, doesn't it? But yet, we can delight in knowing we're obeying God. Do you love God's word? Do you truly love it? I will obey God's word. I will walk in freedom. I will testify of God's testimonies. I will delight in God's commandments. And verse 48, we see two more. I will respect thy commandments. Verse 48 reads, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. This is a picture of worship and of reverence and of respect. And the psalmist here is lifting up and worshiping God and his precious living word. I will respect God's commandments. Why? Again, the psalmist says, because I love them. Because I love them. So, because of his love is a motivation for his delight and for his respect of God and his word. So I will obey God's law, I will walk in freedom, I will testify of God's testimonies, I will delight in God's commandments, I will respect thy commandments, and finally, I will meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate in thy statutes. And you could ask the question, why? And the psalmist doesn't give us an answer, but I can suggest this, because they are his standard, because they are his source, and because they are his strength. So, dear ones, tonight God has presented his word to us in yet another way. Isn't that tremendous? And that's going to continue to happen as we march down through this psalm, and he's going to continue to reveal through this love song for the Word of God, he's going to continue to reveal himself and the sufficiency of God's Word, and how it's more than adequate to meet our every need. And may we begin to pray according to God's standard of his Word. May we begin to walk with a confidence, because God's word is the source of all that we know. May we begin to live with a hope that is strengthened by his precious word. Lord, you've ministered to us tonight, and I thank you for revealing to us this precious, precious word. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage your people with this truth tonight, as you've encouraged my own heart. And Lord, we stand here and we have your word because of your steadfast love and mercy. Give us eyes to see your mercy. Give us eyes to see the expression of your presence all around us. Thank you for the precious stories that show us that you are a loving God. And Lord, may we truly give you the credit and the praise when we see or hear of such precious things as Gabriella's adoption. And Father, we just rejoice in these things. Strengthen your people this week. Help us to be bright lights for you. In Jesus' name, amen.